when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you Blood River Radio fans out there, you Blood River Radio family. Our fans are usually the ones that hate us, but they love to hate us, and it's fun for them to listen to us and hate us as we talk. And we have family who loves us, and they support us. Anyway, who are we? We are Blood River Radio. We're the only radio, the only news media, the only broadcast media in the United States, in the world probably, that I know of, that we have pledged our life to fight global white genocide. And that's our only purpose. That's the only reason we started this radio medium. So people, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And like I said, you're listening to Blood River Radio. We're proudly syndicated by Liberty News Radio. By the way, Sam Bushman came through his surgery just fine, and I'm really glad of that. And matter of fact, he's doing a lot better than I had anticipated, and which is very good news. And today's date, you're listening to Blood River Radio, and this date is January the 13th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Almighty God. The only name under the sun which man can be saved is Jesus Christ Almighty, people. And with that, you know how we always do things here. We're not the best Christians in the world. We try. We really do. Especially me. I'm really weak, and I need to pick it up on Christianity, because I kind of wonder about myself sometimes. Anyway, if you will, as Christians should always do, they should always testify. They should announce their faith out there, like one of the apostles said. I think it's Saint John. He said, "If you believe in your heart, which I do, and you confess with your lips, which I've tried to do now, that Jesus was raised, he died, he was raised, God Almighty raised him on the third day, and he now sits in the heaven with his Father, and he will return again to judge the living and the dead." That's what it's all about. That's the whole gospel. The whole gospel, the whole Old Testament is about Christ. The gospel is Jesus. It's Christ. That's all it is. And people, I'll say, that's kind of like a little prayer right there. If you will, bow your heads. Get ready for a little prayer, people. If you don't mind, please do so. Almighty Father God, the maker of all things unseen and seen, the maker and creator of the entire universe, we come to you right now, O Lord. We ask you to bless us, bless our family and our loved ones, our spiritual family, along with our biological family and all of our friends. If we'll bless this radio program, thank you so much for blessing Sam Bushman, letting him survive that surgery. If we'll, Lord, please never let us, on Blood River, never let us weaken to the point that we can't continue on working for you. Please continue to tell us what to do, and I think you have, oh Lord. And if you will, Lord, we thank you so much for supplying the means necessary to keep going. And let us always do things in your will, Lord. We ask all this in your Son's holy name, Jesus Christ Almighty, who's came to earth and saved us with his precious blood. Amen. People, tonight, we have a donor this week. You know, we always have a donor. Before I go to the donor, I'm going to say our motto, I think, tonight is going to be resist much, obey little. We got that from a really pretty, beautiful young commentator in Europe. We're going to play one of her audios tonight, but she has a newsletter, and she's really an impressive lady. We're going to play an audio tonight, audio video. that we got from her. But I think that's, I wish I'd have thought of that myself. Resist much and obey little. We can all do that without risking going to jail. And before I go, well, let me do this. Let me go ahead and do this. We have Paul from West Virginia who donated this week. And he sent this beautiful, beautiful Christmas card. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous. It has a beautiful fire engine red cardinal on it, a red bird. And I'm going to try to read this poem. Normally I wouldn't read this. I hope I don't butcher it. But he's handwritten this poem. Evidently, I think Paul's probably German. Here it goes. You step on me, sings the snow. I make no cry of war, of woe. Your foot is the violin's bow, draws across my soul. Be it heard and understood when stepped upon and kicked. One sings in only the most beautiful things. Bear with me, people. It's handwritten, and it's a little bit tough for me to read, but he sent it. Paul sent this, so I'm going to struggle through. For those who are oppressed, know there came a child, most humble child of all, into the world as a lamb, whose bed was in a stall, who would give himself a glowing light in the great darkness of the night. He was struck down, as is our lot, but extinguished is he not. As written by Otto Julius Bier, looks like B-A-N-A, Birbana. And at the bottom of this card says, in his birth, we are blessed. In his name, we rejoice at Christmas and all through the year. It says, thankful for your radio and service, who were not afraid to witness the truth. That's from Paul Hoskins. I'll just use kind of a fake last name because we want to guard him from West Virginia. Anyway, so if he lets us, if he wants us to use his full name now, I'm sure he'll contact us. We also have a text message here I would like to read. If I can get it pulled up without too much time, let's see, because it's really meant a lot to me. People send us stuff all the time, y'all. And if they go to the trouble of sending it, I like to read it. It says, good morning, Eddie, !! You, me, and Dave Gehary know that it's always the Jew all the time. I ran across an obscure article way down at the bottom of the news feed. Apparently, the states don't enforce their militia laws good enough. So Representative Raskin, a Jew, and Senator Markey, married to a Jew, so they have introduced a bill to give the feds power to go after militias. This is very, very pertinent. We all know that militia is the Hebrew word for two or more goyim gathering to do anything other than worshiping Jews. The only place they want whites to congregate is in a concentration camp in a cemetery. He's right on the money. It says, it's white genocide that they want. Blood River Radio is the only outlet that's fighting to stop it. Give them hell, Eddie. No quarter. I'll be listening in the morning on the archive. And that comes from the one and only Biscuit down in Florida. Thank you so much, Biscuit. Well, people, before I go further, I'll just give a quick outline. We got Sister Nancy on tonight. That's going to be me and Sister Nancy. We got a lot of stuff here. Got to hurry up. We got we're picking up Sister Braveheart. By the way, Nancy is our bell cow for sure. She's going to be with us on hour one and two. We're picking up Braveheart in hour two. So it'll be Nancy and Braveheart hour two. And we're also going to pick up, as time permits, we're going to pick up Mindy Esposito with breaking news, pretty much breaking news for me about some sadness they had happen up there at they did various memorials, several of them up in the Arlington National Cemetery in protest against what they're trying to do is destroy the Reconciliation Monument up there. And we're losing on all fronts, people. We really are. But anyway, before I go any further, the third hour will be the bitter inner himself of coming on. And he will continue on with Mindy. So anyway, without that, with all that out of the way, we will introduce the bell cow herself. How are you doing, Miss Bell Cow?
I'm just fine. A little bit of a cold, Eddie, which you you drug me on her no matter what.
Well, you got that right.
I do have my foreign feathering and my heroes, if you want me to give you that. We'll try to do that weekly. So the tarn feathering will go to the U.S. and U.K. for denying genocide and for bombing Yemen.
Oh, we got to go to our first break. That first break, we got all that housekeeping stuff out of the way. So we come right back to you, Big Sister, as soon as this first commercial break. People, will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net. In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, without further waste of time, we're going to go right back to the bell cow herself, Sister Nancy. Go ahead, Sister Nancy. Continue on, please.
Okay, Eddie, we did the tarn feathering, the U.S. and the U.K. for denying genocide and for bombing Yemen. And the heroes that I want to mention would be the more than 100 journalists who have been killed in Gaza. And oddly enough, amazingly enough, South Africa is taking Israel to the Court of Justice, and of course, America's not even in the Court of Justice. They're afraid some of our people will end up behind bars, I guess. But I have to commend South Africa for doing that. In spite of a lot of the things that have happened in South Africa, they are aware of the cruelty that is being meted out to these thousands and thousands of people in Gaza. What I was going to talk about, Eddie, and to listeners, I think is something that many of us already have a positive opinion about Adolf Hitler. We may know some facts about his steps to power and his personal habits, but in order to truly understand the character of Hitler, I would recommend a book that I just finished reading called Germany's Hitler, the only authorized biography by Heinz A. Heinz, that's spelled H-E-I-N-Z. The first edition came out in 1934. The second edition came out in 1938. Buddy mailed this to me as a gift, and it is eye-opening. It's eye-opening because it gives you the inside in the character of the of Hitler's early life, World War One era as a soldier, his political efforts, his imprisonment, and finally becoming Chancellor of Germany. I got a renewed respect for Adolf Hitler by reading this book. That is why I think this book is so valuable. This author did personal interviews of those who actually knew Adolf Hitler during all periods of his amazing life, his poverty, his honor, his generosity and loyalty to his friends. Hitler was a unique gift to Germany and to the world. This book called Germany's Hitler, the only authorized biography by Heinz A. Heinz, can be ordered from Osteria, O-S-T-A-R-A Publications. The cost is $15.95. It was published as 228 pages with many photographs because the author, not only did he go to the various places where Hitler had lived, but also to the various various places where he had lodged as a lodger. And he actually, like I say, he did personal interviews because this was very early in the rise to fame of Adolf Hitler, because this was first written in 1934. And see, he'd only really become chancellor the year before. But I have a couple notes here that really will tell you a little bit about the character of Adolf Hitler. First of all, his father was a customs officer in a small Austrian town of Braunau on the Inn. And Adolf was the only son. There was an older daughter, Clara Hitler, but he was the only son. He was born April the 20th of 1889. His father died in 1903. Hitler was only 13. His mother died in 1908. For many years, for 3 years, Hitler lived in Vienna, he wanted to study art, but he worked at various jobs, manual jobs, and tried to sell his own artwork. And he was a talented artist. He was in primitive lodgings. He lived in penury, basically a total of 5 years. 3 years he lived in Vienna, and the last 2 years before the war, he lived in Munich as a lodger in very poor lodgings. During the time that he was trying to make a living selling his artwork, he began to understand communism, Marxism, Judaism, capital and labor, race deterioration, immorality, and disease. On page 37, I'll talk a little bit briefly about one of the places, the place he stayed actually for 2 years as a lodger in Munich. And what the woman said about him was really unchanged. His life really never changed, in my opinion, from the time he was a young man. She said that during the whole of the 2 years he was with us, this is Frau Popp, she was the lady who had a lodging for Adolf Hitler for 2 years in Munich. During the whole of the 2 years he was with us, I can't recall to mind that he ever had a visitor. Only once in a while did he ever get a letter from his sister who was married and lived in Vienna. Anyhow, I imagine that was who it was from. He never spoke of having any relatives. That's another thing that is highlighted in this book, is really the fact that he had little contact with his surviving relatives. It seemed like the only relative he ever had contact with basically was his sister, and that was very limited. She was married, and she was older, living in Vienna. They had nothing but good things to say about the time that he was there as a boarder. This is another thing. During his wartime experience, when he was also doing very dangerous work as a messenger in the trenches, this is something that was said about Hitler by one of the men who was a soldier with him. He said, "Christmas came around again without any of us yet knowing how soon the war would be over or how much of it we'd have got to face. It was pretty miserable, but they'd concocted some punch in the canteen, and at least every man had got letters or parcels from home. Everyone, that is, except Hitler. Somehow, Hitler never got a letter. It wasn't a thing that called for remark exactly, but we all felt sorry inside and wanted him to share and share alike with us, but he never would. Never accepted so much as a Kuchen, which is cake. It was no use to keep all on at him. Not that he wasn't free-handed enough when he had anything of his own to share." Again, as I say, this is an example of the character of Adolf Hitler. And I think one of the most interesting things is when he was jailed in 1923, due to the putsch that took place, they, in this particular jail, they separated the what they call the politicals from the criminals. And it's really amazing. The author went to Landsberg and interviewed the chief warder. And the chief warder had nothing but good things to say about Hitler. Just one second, I'll find it here. I thought this was very impressive what he had to say about Hitler. Here's what he says. This is a chief warder. He said, "How did he come?" The author asked the chief warder, "How did this come about, you'd like to know?" "Well, chiefly through two things. We had the opportunity of hearing him speak so often to his fellow prisoners on these subjects and to his numerous visitors that we had one and all come by a fair comprehension of his aim and meaning. Secondly, and perhaps this is even more to the point, we'd seen him living out his theory in his own life before our eyes. We warders are so used to churlish and resentful behavior from prisoners generally that we took that sort of thing all in with the day's work, so that it was a real change and unusual pleasure for us to have Hitler's politicals in the festoon. Every one of them behaved like a gentleman. Hitler set the tone. That's why he never made any distinction of persons. He'd offer a peasant who came to see him his own chair to sit on as readily as he'd offer it to a general. He was as courteous to the least of us officers here as to the governor himself. That's one of the things we found so tremendously unusual about him. One of the things we like so much. Then again, I, who'd been in close contact with him all that time, can affirm without the least hesitation that he was an exceptionally truthful man. He never lied or prevaricated in any way. He'd even avoid the least dubiousness in what he said. He made our work for us lighter and pleasanter than any prisoner had ever done before. We understood each other, and I, notwithstanding the fact that it was always my job to insist strictly on the rules."
Sister Nancy, we got to go to a quick break. Please hold that thought. You're doing a marvelous job. Be right back, people. We're going to listen to this great, great book review.
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Laura Winters. It's the countdown to the caucuses on Monday, but first to Israel this hour, where families of the hostages still being held by Hamas terrorists in excruciating pain, worrying about the fate of their loved ones as we approach the 100-day mark on Sunday that they were kidnapped. Very little news in the American media about them. In other news, the Biden administration finally taking out targets in Yemen, including a Houthi radar site, this after the group has attacked ships in the Red Sea more than 100 times in recent months. The Department of Defense says to expect retaliation for the action. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin remains in the hospital at Walter Reed Medical Center. He's being treated for complications related to prostate cancer surgery. To Iowa now, where it's been snowing and freezing cold, presidential hopefuls making their last-minute pitch to voters ahead of the caucuses Monday night. Former President Trump canceling some weekend rallies. He releases a video message.
It's going to be a little bit of a trek. Nobody knows how exactly we're going to get there, but we're going to figure it out.
Vivek Ramaswamy had to abandon his bus due to terrible weather conditions. Still his team going door-to-door meeting voters. Nikki Haley telling reporters,
"This is an unbelievable amount of snow, but we are going to continue to try and touch as many people as we can."
"I was shocked at how many people were willing to come, given how much snow's on the ground, but I'm going to use every minute I can to be able to win votes."
And Ron DeSantis and his wife both campaigning as best they can, considering the weather conditions.
"We have a lot of people that we have signed up to commit to for us over many months. I think they're motivated, they're passionate, and they're going to show up. What about the broader electorate? I just don't know, but I'm confident our people are going to come out strong."
The latest Suffolk University poll has Trump at 54% in Iowa, Haley at 20, DeSantis at 13, and Vivek at 6%. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
All you fellow warriors out there, you precious Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back to the Bell Cow, Sister Nancy. She's doing a great job, man. She's one of our academians on this program. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
I'll just go ahead and cover what this Chief Warder had to say about Hitler during his time and after he left. He said that Hitler made our work for us lighter and pleasanter than any prisoner had ever done before. We understood each other, he and I, notwithstanding the fact that it was always my job to insist strictly on the rules. In a word, when Hitler left here, we all held him in the utmost esteem. It was only in 1932 and 1933 we realized how much we had to thank God for in having sent us such a man. We had in then a couple of dozen communists, and we warders had all our work cut out to deal with them. They were a slippery lot, always grousing about one thing and another. The press, too, didn't help us in any way to carry out what were, after all, merely our official and routine duties. We were held up to execration as enemies of the proletariat. So I can tell you, looking back upon it, we appreciated that time when Hitler and his friends were in our charge. The governor himself turned to me as Hitler drove away. Now he's driving away from Lansdale. He's driving away from prison, and remarked, "Well, if it's any way possible to uplift this country again and set her on her feet, that's the man to do it." And he did it. As we know, he did it. This book doesn't cover much of the political aspects. It's basically personality, the buildings of the places, and even the cell that Hitler shared in the Landsberg. To me, it's just an incredible book. I was just so happy that Buddy sent it to me. I probably would not have ordered it. I've read about Hitler in the past. I had good opinions about Hitler to begin with, but I think this renewed my faith in the man and his character. One of the things at the end of the book, when Hitler was given power in 33, all you have to do is read this book to find all of the wonderful things that he did almost immediately. One of the things he did was to do what they call winter relief work and ask people to help their poor brethren, the poor Germans who were financially not able to maybe buy coal or buy wood or keep themselves warm during the winter. In fact, he promised when he took over, he made a promise to the people. Of course, he took 4 years. He said in 4 years he would rebuild the country, which he did. Here's what he said in the autumn of his first year as chancellor. Adolf Hitler issued what was at once an order and an announcement. This winter, no one must starve or freeze in Germany. What Hitler could see before he rose to power was that communism was surviving off of class warfare between the working man and the employer, the working man and the business owner, the working man and the monarchy or the people who had substance, the working man against the rich man. And Adolf Hitler was opposed to that kind of of warfare, civilian, well, social warfare, which the communists and the Jews were encouraging. And just like it says in one of these pages, the reason they had to fight, and often they did have to fight the communists, because the communists would come into these beer halls and they would start these battles. And of course, many of these German National Socialists did end up getting injured and killed in these beer hall fights. I'm going to go back again, and I'm just going to I'm going to read briefly what is written on the back of this book, and then I'll end it with Eddie for follow up. This is what is said. This is what is said on the back of the book about this particular book. One of the most suppressed English language books ever to emerge from Germany. The 1938 authorized biography of Adolf Hitler. The professional journalist author interviewed Hitler's old school friends, army colleagues, landlords, his jailer, and early party comrades to provide an unprecedented insight into the German leader's background and pre-war policies. Included are vivid and unique descriptions of Hitler at school, his First World War battlefield experiences, early politics, the amazing truth behind the November 9th putsch, Hitler in prison, and the struggle to power from 1926 to 1933. It ends just after the Austrian Anschluss and the end of the Czech Sudeten crisis. This book was the foremost Hitler myth buster of its day and is full of personal and political insights. Read, for example, about the handicapped child who was amazed to find the chancellor personally delivered his Christmas present. How Hitler always refused to take his salary and instead ordered the state treasury to divert it to poor relief work, and of the massive social reforms which boosted German living standards to the best in Europe. This work is vital for anyone interested in understanding why Hitler won the total adulation and support of the German people. Again, this can be ordered from Astaria, A-S-T-A-R-A Publications. And it's I think it's just a wonderful book. I was so glad that Buddy sent it to me. And I'll just put you out one other thing that happened. The lady who had kept him as had him as a lodger in Munich for a couple years. When he got out of Landsberg prison, his friends and local neighbors there in that area collected about 50 marks, which was a lot of money at that time, to aid Hitler because he'd always lived in poverty. Oh, all of his life. I mean, maybe when he was a child, there was not that much poverty. After his parents died, he lived really in penury. So anyway, they collected, they had flowers and some sweets and different things for Hitler in this primitive little lodging for him to return to when he got out of jail. And they were so proud they had collected 50 marks, which was quite a bit of money at that time, from the impoverished people there. And Hitler would not really accept it. He didn't tell them he wasn't going to accept it, but he turned around and donated it, the entire amount, to a woman who was collecting for a church organ. So that again tells you the kind of man that Hitler really and truly was. And I don't think he ever changed. Somebody asked me if he was such a good man, what happened to him? I said, I don't think anything happened to him. He was always a good man. In fact, he was one of the best men and one of our brightest lights, one of the greatest men that this world has ever seen, in my opinion. So that's my two cents. And I think this book is worth reading, if nothing other than just to really understand the true honor and character of the famous Adolf Hitler.
Well, you did a great job. We'll be going to break in just a moment, but I'll start commenting on that a little bit. You mentioned, and we talked about this during the break earlier. Yeah, I noticed one of the remarks I picked up, one of the comments I picked up on when you were reading that was that they separated the political prisoners from the criminals in the prison. Well, here in the United States, other than, you know, in Germany, the political prisoners weren't viewed as dangerous and thugs and criminals. But the criminals were viewed as criminals, and so they got lesser treatment. Here in the United States, it's just bass backwards. The criminals here in the United States in present time, they were coddled and viewed and treated as heroes. And, oh, people, I hear the music. We'll take a quick break. We'll finish this hour up as soon as we come back from this this quick commercial break. Hang on, folks.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm going to try to go ahead and wind this second out, this first hour up by commenting on Nancy's book review, and because it's a kind of powerful piece I like to read. It's an old piece from the American Free Press written years ago. But first of all, we'll go back. You know, one of the things we talked about was the prisoners in this country here, the criminals, for instance, the ones that burnt down Ferguson, Missouri to the ground, they burnt Chicago to the ground, they burnt Minneapolis, St. Paul, Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon. Those thugs, those black thugs, they actually attacked police stations, they actually attacked federal buildings. They're coddled and treated as downtrodden, mm-hmm. almost like heroes. You know, these people, right. All these communist Jews have this Negro worship. They wasn't like that in Germany. Look how it's just back, bass backwards, totally upside down. Also, in Germany, under National Socialism, workers and management, I could see, could get along fine. You know why? Because you didn't have any Jews to contend with. In this country here, you have masses of Jews who own most of the means of production, and they use these feral animal blacks in the manufacturing sectors to use against people like us. white people. So that system, that's why in this country here, I think that labor unions would thrive in this country where they wouldn't. They were probably not needed there. In socialist Germany, where they had National Socialists. And another interesting point, by the time Hitler hadn't been in power very long, Nancy, I don't know if you know this or not, but about 80 to 86% of the communists that he battled in the streets with, that they bought him with, had a favorable approval of Hitler in the National Socialist. They turned into a good National Socialist. They certainly did. And the reason that one lady said, why was he so good? Why did he change? Well, he didn't change. He was destroyed because he was good. And also, you know, when he brought, you made the remark, he turned Germany around into really they were thriving, doing very well during the worst depression the world had ever seen. The only nation I'm aware of that was, the United States was starving to death. Britain was in bad shape. Well, because of that, one of the reasons he was able to do that in Germany is because they kicked out the international Jew bankers. And for that reason, international Judea, on March the 24th, 1933, I looked this up a minute ago while you were giving your book review, there was an article in the Daily Express. I think the Daily Express was in London, and it said, the front page news says, this, keep in mind, people, March 24th, 1933, over six years before the World War II shooting war started. It said, the front page article says, Judea declares war, economic war on Germany. They had to bring them to the knees because they would not allow a white Christian nation to overthrow the yoke of servitude to the Jews. Well, that, I'm going to stop. If I have time, I'd like to read this article here that Sister Nancy sent me. I think this is a very powerful article, and it hits the spot. So it's going to be kind of a tough read. I think I can do it in about 7 minutes, and then we can, Nancy, you can comment on it. But it says right here, this is an article written by a Mark Glenn. Nancy said that he used to write for the America Free Press. As a matter of fact, this article came, I think, from the America Free Press. It says, a powerful but masochistic expression of gratitude by the United States to Israel. That's the title of this piece. Today, while driving through town, I wound up behind a minivan that had a big sticker on the back. The sticker had an Israeli flag in the middle of it, and under it, the quotation from the book of Genesis that reads, I will bless those who bless thee. I would like to take time to list my own reasons for thanking and blessing Israel, our lone ally in the Middle East, for everything she has done for us, since I'm quite sure most Americans are unaware of just what kind of friend she has been to us, she being Israel. First of all, for extorting from me and my fellow Americans $16 billion a year for the last four decades, we bless thee. For taking our most sophisticated weapons technology and stealing it for yourself without paying the American patent holders, we bless thee, dear Israel. For taking that high-tech military technology and selling it to our enemies, such as the Russians and the Chinese, especially when Clinton was in office, thus further endangering us, we bless thee. For using that weaponry in a sustained attack against a United States ship, the United States ship Liberty, in an attempt to sink her, thus preventing U.S. servicemen from revealing to the rest of the world information concerning the war crimes they witnessed you commit against Egyptian soldiers in the Sinai Desert during the Six-Day War, we bless thee. For killing 35 and wounding 170 American sailors aboard the United States ship Liberty, we bless thee, dear Israel. Keep in mind, people, these are all the blessings that he's thanking Israel for. For bribing the United States government into covering it up, preventing any justice from being done for the benefits of the families of the lost sailors, as well as the American people, we bless thee. For sending your agents into Egypt and blowing up American buildings for the purpose of blaming the Arabs in an event known as the Levant Affair, we bless thee. for sending your agents into Libya during the Reagan administration and broadcasting radio messages in Arabic that were designed to sound like terrorist cell planning so that the U.S. would initiate military strikes against Gaddafi. We bless thee. For withholding information from us concerning the planned attacks against the U.S. Marine barracks in Lebanon, attacks you knew through your moles in the Islamic world and about which you deliberately refused to warn us in order to further your interest against the Arabs, we bless thee. For employing Jonathan Pollard, an American serviceman paid to spy for Israel, in order to steal even more of our national security agents for your parasitic purposes. For blackmailing President Clinton through one of your intelligence agencies, agents, Monica Lewinsky's, in order to prevent a coherent peace program from being pushed forward between yourself and the Palestinian people that you have brutalized and murdered for the past 50 years, we bless thee. For breaking every agreement you have made with your Arab neighbors, stealing their land, displacing, murdering, and treating them like animals you see them, treating them like the animals you see them as, we bless thee. For using your agents within the first Bush administration to involve us in the first Gulf War, causing the death of American men and women, and exposing our servicemen to whatever bioweapons we were responsible for. We are responsible that had led to the Gulf War syndrome. We bless thee. That was kind of rough reading there. I had to skip down here. in the September 11 attacks and sending us in the wrong direction, much of your answers in search of answers, we bless thee. For using one of your agents in the United States Army Weapons Lab, Lieutenant Colonel Philip Zack, to steal anthrax and distribute it into our mailing system, terrorizing United States citizens and killing several in order to blame the Arabs, we bless thee. For using your agents in the United States government, namely Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, Pearl, Adams, and the rest, in initiating this war in the Mideast so that you could bring to heel all the enemies you have made during the last 50 years, we bless thee. For using your agents in the media to lie to us on a minute-by-minute basis about the war, how just this cause is, and what the real reasons behind it are, we bless thee. For using your agents in the Clinton evangelical community, in the Christian evangelical community, such as Falwell, Graham, Swaggart, and the rest of those who praise you as God's chosen people, and further keep Americans in the dark about who you really are, what you have done, and what you truly are about, we bless thee. I would include Alex Jones there as a Jewish shill, a misinformation agent. Yeah, Big Alex. Never mention the Jew, Alex. For bringing idiots like Limbaugh, Liddy, Hannity, Beck, and Savage to the forefront as paid liars that will support you and further lead Americans astray, we bless thee. For making Americans your attack dog and for sending her sons and daughters to fight and die in all your future wars, for using your influence in the media to hide the real statistics about the war, the dead and the wounded on both sides, we bless thee. For using us in such a way that not only further inflames the Arab world against us, but as well has succeeded in alienating ourselves against those nations with whom we have been friendly for over a century, we bless thee. Getting close to the end, folks. And finally, for using your influence in our media and academia to flood our minds with pornography and lies, as well as inculcating in us a hatred for our history, religion, culture, for dividing our nation between racists and sexists, for releasing into our society all of your plagues and filth that have left us a rotten, rotted out corpse of a once great nation. Oh, Israel, our friend, we bless thee. People, that's kind of a long article. And it took me the whole thing. We'll comment on that article a little bit when we come back, point by point. But I think, I know it was long, maybe tedious, but I think it needed to be read. The guy was right on. Be right back, folks. We're transitioning to the second hour. Going to pick up Sister Monica. So hang out.